Hello, everyone. This is the WBAI Local Station Board's Local Finance Committee meeting. My name is R. Paul Martin. I'm the WBAI Local Station Board's treasurer, and I chair this meeting. And we're here to have the meeting tonight. We have just approved our agenda. Well, no, we haven't approved the agenda. We're discussing our agenda. And, okay, so.
You want
Jack,
me to reiterate, R. Paul? This is Jack.
Yeah. So you would like me to do what with this thing we got from someone today?
5 minutes for your explanation about what it says and how it came to you and what it is.
Oh.
And 5 minutes, if not more, for questions that we could ask about it.
Okay. So let me look here. You would then make you would amend the treasurer's report to to add what, 5 minutes?
In the specificity of that information, yes.
Okay.
Thank you.
1 second. Okay, so what I have is to add 5 minutes to the treasurer's report to talk about Linda Perry's email. Okay? Does that sound like what you want?
You want me to motivate, or you're fine with that?
Okay, that's what you want. That's your.
Yes, sir.
Okay. Yes, go ahead and motivate it.
We haven't gotten information from anybody that knows anything about the radio station except little snippets or here or there, little bits of information. What our Paul shared us is probably very reliable, timely, very comprehensive in a sense, but it's also only a snapshot, only a reference of money coming in, money going out, et cetera, et cetera. I believe our Paul might be able to help us understand it better. Thank you.
Okay. All right. So that is an amendment. It is on the floor. Is there any further debate on that particular amendment? Hearing none, let me do a little thing on the computer here so it doesn't crash again. Okay. Is there any objection to adding 5 minutes to the treasurer's report to talk about Linda Perry's email? Hearing no objection, that amendment is passed without objection. Is there any further discussion of the agenda and as amended now? Is there anything else about the agenda? Questions, comments, more amendments, whatever. Anything else? Okay. Hearing none, is there any objection to approving the agenda as amended? Hearing none, it is approved as amended. Okay, so there we go. All right.
Sorry for the interruption. Noel Jameson.
Okay.
Here.
Okay, thank you, Noel. We got you right there. Okay.
Thank you.
1 second. And I guess this is as good a time as any for me to go in here and God, what did I just do? Okay. Rushing doesn't work well. Okay, so we'll do this. And now we'll do a real roll call. And so, okay, this is the formal official roll call, folks. Please answer up when you hear your name, even if you've already done this. Joan DiLorenzo.
Here.
Jack DePalma.
Here.
Martin Flynn.
Here.
Noel Jameson.
Here.
Denise Joyce. R. Paul Martin here. Matt Mazza. Carolyn McIntyre. was here.
Yes, here. Sorry about that.
There you are. Daryl McPherson.
Present.
Ellie Murphy.
Here.
Bertold Reimers. Doreen Roberts. James Sagerton. Jeffrey Stern.
Here.
Michael D.D. White.
Here.
M.K. Williams.
Here.
Okay, and we have 11, and that's a quorum. And so, let me write that down and put the date on it. Okay. All right, the next item we have on the agenda is identify timekeeper. Who wants to be the timekeeper? Jeffrey? Jeffrey, do you want to be the timekeeper? Somebody's cutting something right next to their phone. I hope it's not Jeffrey. Jeffrey, will you be the timekeeper?
I want to eat dinner, so if somebody else does it, I might do it for you.
Jeffrey just said he'll do it. Okay, is there any objection to Jeffrey Stern being the timekeeper? Hearing none, Jeffrey Stern is the timekeeper. Next is excused absences, and we have at least one. And okay, I will double check to make sure that nothing new has come in the last few minutes. Okay, and I am not seeing any further ones. So, Serene Roberts has requested an excused absence from this meeting. So, I move to excuse the absence of Serene Roberts. Is there any debate on that motion to excuse Serene Roberts? Hearing none, motion is passed without objection. Next is minutes approval. And MK,
I had a very busy month this month, and with Alan's health, we found out he had to have another surgery rather soon. He had it on Monday, and I've just been busy dealing with a lot of stuff. So I didn't get it done. I still have the notes. I will send it out, and I am taking notes tonight, so I will get both months done and sent.
Okay. Thank you, and we hope he gets well soon.
Thank you.
Okay, next item is the treasurer's report. Is actually for 15 minutes now. Okay, let's get to, where do I have, here it is. Okay, and God, it's a lot of sirens passing by right now. Okay, there's been some good news lately. The tower rent arrearage has been paid off because we had owed them a huge amount of money again. And WBAI is current with 4 Times Square. It would be good to know the details of this, and I have emailed the interim general manager trying to get more information about it, but I've not heard anything further. WBAI's license has been renewed because the station sent in its last 2 installments of the $25,000 fine at once. So instead of $5,000 in July, the station sent in $10,000. That made it a total of $25,000 that was sent to the FCC as a fine, and the FCC granted WBAI a 2-year license extension at the end of July. Radio station license renewals are usually for 8 years, but, you know, we're being punished, I guess. The executive director has gotten the paperwork problem sorted out, and she was able to communicate with the Small Business Administration about Pacifica's economic injury disaster loan. Pacifica has been in default with regard to paying the interest on that loan, and the Small Business Administration had put a lien on the building in Los Angeles that Pacifica has been in the process of selling. So now the lien is getting lifted, and the FJC lender is now going to lift their lien on the property as soon as the idle is lifted off it. The property is expected to go into escrow, and the deadline for escrow has been extended to September 8th. One important aspect of the sale of the KPFK building is that some of the proceeds of that sale are earmarked to fund the two audits that Pacifica needs to file. With current audits, WBAI and the other stations can apply for grants. Grantors almost always want to see your organization's last audit. Sometimes they want to see more than one audit. And somebody is preparing their food there. Jack, if that's you, could you mute your phone? Thank you. Okay.
I was muted there. It's not moving.
Oh, you're muted. Somebody else is clacking their food or something around, and if they could just mute their phone, that would help a lot. Okay. Yes, so grantors usually want to see an audit, your latest audit, and sometimes they want to see two or three audits of the past two or three years. So if Pacifica gets the audits done, then we'll have that, and we can beg for money in more places. The executive director said she would release a copy of the report she sent to the National Finance Committee meeting August 13th, after the next PNB meeting, which was last week. I haven't gotten that yet. I have asked for that public copy. Basically, what she sent us is marked confidential, and we can't bring it up. I do not understand what's confidential about cash in bank and several other things, but it's insisting. You know, there's an insistence that that stuff's all confidential. So I have asked that she send out the a public version of that thing. And we'll not yet. We haven't gotten it yet. But we'll get it eventually. When we get it, I will send it to the LSB and the local finance committee. So we'll see how that goes there. In this fiscal year's consolidated financials through the second quarter, Pacifica showed a surplus of about $133,000, which is a lot better than the second quarter deficit of about $877,000 that Pacifica had last year. So that's an improvement. WBAI is showing a deficit of almost $173,000 through the end of the second quarter, which ended on March 31st of this year. And the $173,000 deficit is better than the deficit of almost $230,000 that the station had at the end of March last year. So it's sort of an improvement.
Mm-hmm.
At the August 13th NFC meeting, we talked about the WBAI Local Finance Committee not getting financial information and not having been sent a draft FY25 budget yet. The executive director said that we'd get the information in time for us to do a budget, and she said she was talking to the WBAI interim general manager. Jim Dingman, the director from BAI, Jim Dingman, has filed a director's inspection for financial information about WBAI, and he's trying to get the information that way. Boy, somebody needs to maybe mute. It looks like WBAI okay, somebody really seriously needs to mute. It looks like WBAI has so far in August raised about $68,579, and that's not enough. And I get that figure from being able to go into Allegiance, which is the software that tracks our donations. And so that's what it says. Now, I am not an expert at Allegiance, but it all adds up to $68,579. And there are some things in there that I say, I don't know what this is. One of the things, let's see, one of the things in here, okay, we've got a couple of things. One of the things is personal contact, and that says $60,000. I don't know what that comes from. Now, for the part that Jack wants to get discussed here is coming up. All right. Linda Perry Barr.
Can I ask a question about the Treasurer's Report, please?
Oh, all right. You want to do it this way. You can have a question now, and then we're going to go into the stuff you wanted us to go into. Go ahead.
Yes, sir. Well, maybe you could be a little clearer. You said that WBAI paid double payment, $5,000 twice is $10,000. WBAI doesn't really make these payments. Isn't that correct? Isn't it true that people in California hold our money and they basically get a check?
Well, if you want to be sort of technical.
I want to be technical. I want to be technical.
Yeah. I think that's the way it works. That's the way Berthold, when he was general manager, said it was working. And I haven't heard anybody since Berthold say anything about it.
But so, the proper way to say it is that Pacifica paid WBAI's FCC fine in two last final installments, and we have a two-year extension on the FCC license because we're a Pacifica affiliate. We're a Pacifica station.
No, I wouldn't put it that way. It sounds then like Pacifica paid it.
Can you say it?
I think that $10,000 came out of BAI's bank account.
No, I understand that. But who specifically controls WBAI's bank account is not anybody
well, that's
that I know.
A question. I think the national office probably handled it.
Okay, that means they decided to send two, not one at a time.
Yeah.
Okay, thank you. That's my question.
Okay. Why don't I continue with this other part over here? All right, so we had...
Are you taking questions, Paul, on that statement?
Well, okay, here's the deal. We extended so that I can talk about this other email and the numbers and things in it. So I think I should do that, and then we can have questions, okay?
Thank you so much.
Because I'm sure people will want to extend the time. All right. This is from, I believe, that the thing that Linda Perry Barr sent out, which she sent out today, sometime this morning, and she sent it to a bunch of different people, and I figured I should also send it to the local finance committee because, you know, we should see all this stuff. Now, part of the issue here is that when you're in Allegiance, and I'm pretty sure this is just Allegiance data, when you're in Allegiance, it looks a certain way, and it's set up with tables and columns and rows. When you take it and you just throw it in as text, it becomes a little difficult to read. So going through some of this, I would prefer that we not spend a whole lot of time on the early stuff like June and all of that. And one second, I've got to deal with an eye problem here, and it will be just a second, and I'll be with you. Okay. All right. So I would prefer to look at this stuff for the more recent things. And the more – okay, looking at hers, I think she has the same – I'm looking for it now. I think she has the same figure I gave you that is something like what is it? $68,000 and change. So I believe she mentions that in here somewhere. But she starts out with June, and she has $275,000 coming in June. And with union contributions, she titles it, union contributions of $40,500. And then there's a bequest of $222,000, which I had been thinking was the Bolton Family Trust. the Bolton family is, there was this guy named Bolton. He passed away, and he left money to a lot of different people in what sounds like an extremely complex will. And there are a lot, there's a lot of money, pardon me, and a lot of people are named in the will, and some aren't named in the will, and it has been grinding its way through the courts for more than a decade now. And so here and there, parts of it get settled, and BAI gets some money out of it because he left some money to BAI. So that's what we've been getting. But this $222,000 has somebody's name next to it, and so this puzzles me. I'm not sure about that. I have not been reading allegiance reports for very long, and so I'm not sure about this. Why is somebody's name attached to this? I was looking at it in the raw, and it didn't have a name attached to it. All right, so it goes through other things. It shows for June, it's showing BAI buddies as getting about $1,958, and I believe that's new donations. That's my interpretation of it, because previous management has said we get around $18,000 to $21,000 a month out of BAI buddies. So that's not the total revenue from buddies. That's got to be what we got in June. Then it has on-air pitches of $724, which makes me say, huh? I'm not sure how that works. We had to make more than that. So that makes me also say the allegiance stuff can be very hard to read and a little misleading. For July, it's showing a total of $80,000. With $64,500 in union contributions, just says donor, $5,000. Then it has a David Rothenberg figure of about $4,800. Buddies, a little over $3,000. Then on-air pitches, $255. For August, it has the $68,579 figure I quoted, and it also quotes $60,000 in union contributions. And then it says, includes $5,000 from a law firm which recovers 9/11 injuries recovers 9/11 injuries. Barish and McGarry is the law firm name, apparently. And I don't know what that's about. Then David Rothenberg raising about $2,800, new buddies $2,800, and on-air pitches of $718. And then it goes on to talk about pitching and things like that and large unions sending in money. Now, one of the questions we've been having, I've been trying to get it informed about, is I know that when we had an NFC meeting a couple of months ago, maybe 3 months ago now, we had the interim general manager on the call, and he was talking about getting all this money coming in from unions. And the thing is, a lot of that money was going to Pacifica. Now, some of it is supposed to go to BAI. I have had no differentiation, no breakdown of how much goes to Pacifica, how much goes to BAI. I know that they're using a bunch of the union money for Pacifica to do its coverage of the Democratic National Convention that's going on. So I know a lot of Pacifica's DNC coverage is paid for by the union donations. I don't know how much is coming to WBAI so WBAI can pay its own bills. That's a question for the interim general manager and anybody else in some kind of management that will help us out here and, inform us. So that's the basic explanation of the email that I forwarded from Linda Perrybar. And that's most of my report. I will say, pardon me, I will say, it is my opinion that while some large problems like the tower rent have been dealt with, WBAI and Pacifica are still in dire shape. The next NFC meeting is scheduled for next Tuesday, August 27th at 8:30 p.m. Eastern Time, and people can listen to that online. And that is the Treasurer's Report. Okay, are there any questions or comments on the Treasurer's Report? I will take a stack.
Jack would like to be stacked.
I hear DePalma. Who else?
Jim Dingman.
Dingman.
Matt
Mazza. Anybody else? Okay, let's start with those three. Jack DePalma, go ahead.
Thank you very much, R. Paul. It not only helped to clarify why Allegiance looks so confusing to me, but it also helped clarify a lot of things that I've been wondering about for the last 3-4 months. I want to point out two things about what you said. I believe this is true, but you can correct me if I'm inaccurate or improperly interpreting what you were reading or what I read. Number one, the listener support, the on-air, people call in, no phone number, right? That support has not generated the money we need monthly. June, it was very low. July, I think it was also very low. And August, I believe, was very low. Correct?
Oh, yeah. They're extremely low, so. The general manager, a previous general manager, said that BAI was missing about $30,000 a month. And when you're raising, we needed to raise at least $100,000 a month, he said, and we weren't doing it. So for August, which is, there was a thon on this time. And since we had that, I figured that was what to look at. And it's showing very, very small proceeds here. And I'm looking at it right
like
now.
$750, you said. And just two other follow-ups.
Yeah, go ahead.
Number two and number three are really indicative. Aren't they supposed to be having I think it was June when we were supposed to be registering new listeners with $25, which is a meager sum. But you could vote. And now we're knee-deep in the voting. Isn't that supposed to be how you raise money in a listener-sponsored radio network or radio station? Should that have been really highlighted and not, juggle the ball and who's the general manager and who's telling us what's going on? June.
Well,
I'm sorry. And the second one, let me hit you with the second one. You can answer both, and I'll shut up. And the second one is that I believe the bequest was $220,000, which paid the transmitter. And I believe it was a different name than the Bolton name, and there was a different name given. And I believe that kind of rescued us. Can you make a budget with what you're looking at? Because I think that's what I think Jim's going to say, and I'll shut up and listen.
Okay, can we make a budget out of what I've seen? No way. And thank you for the information. Nobody told me that the $222,000 was where the tower rent arrearage payment.
Oh, I don't know, Paul. I'm guessing.
Oh, you're guessing. Oh, okay. All right, we'll scratch that. Still, nobody's told me that. So I've been assuming it was a Bolton Family Trust drop, which we get periodically. Semi-periodically. So, no, we don't have enough information to do a budget, and we don't do the budget per se. Management, which, the people who pay the bills, have to come in and say, here is our proposed budget, and we go over it, and we ask questions, and we see what's going on with it. It isn't a case of the local finance committee comes up with the whole thing there. So, yeah. So that's what happens there. We are not able to do a budget at this time, and we absolutely need to have some form of management show up with a budget proposal, which we then go over and try to deal with. Okay. The next person on the stack is James Sagadin. James Sagadin, you have the floor.
You have to get more time.
Okay, somebody said something that's very muffled.
That was Jeffrey. This is James, our Paul. I didn't request the stack. I may have raised my hand by accident, but I didn't.
Okay, Daryl requests the stack.
Can you move 5 minutes extension, please?
Our Paul was... Okay, Jeffrey. Jeffrey, are you calling time?
Yes.
Okay.
I move 5 minute extension, please.
Hold on. Okay. Wait. Yep. Okay, hold on a second, and let me. So you want to do 5 minutes?
I think you should do 10 minutes, Paul.
You just said 5 minutes.
Yeah, but I can change my mind as quick as that sometimes. 10 minutes.
Okay, 10 minutes. All right. So the motion is to extend the. What? Something popped up. Boy, I got it. All right. I am having problems with Microsoft. They're updating me, and it's funny. All right. The motion is to extend the time for this item by 10 minutes. Is there any objection to extending the time for the treasurer's report by 10 minutes? Hearing none, we're extended, and right now I need to do another thing, so hold on, folks. I got to do a fast announcement here and do a little business, so we're suspending everything else for a second, and I'm hearing myself. Pardon me as I cough. All right. While attendees at any WBAI meeting are not required to identify themselves, anyone who wants to become a member of the committee must sign the sign-in sheet at 3 consecutive committee meetings in order to become a member. It is the policy of the WBAI Local Station Board that for the Local Finance Committee, that the sole criterion for establishing attendance at meetings to become a member of the Local Finance Committee shall be the signing in on the official sign-in sheet for that meeting. For these electronic meetings, it is sufficient that the prospective member let the chair know their name and that they are present during the meeting. The PNB has passed a motion that, quote, only those affiliated for voting purposes. Okay, something's going on here. What is that? Okay, somebody's playing a radio. Would you please stop that? Thank you. Okay, PNB passed a motion. Only those affiliated for voting purposes with a particular local station and only that local station may serve as voting members of a committee of that local station board. Having said that, is there anybody on the call who is not a member, who would like to become a member and is here and wants to give me their name so that they can start the process or continue the process of becoming a member of this committee? Anyone? Okay, I hear no one saying they want to be a member. Let me take this chance to freshen up our attendance. Is Denise Joyce here? Is Bertold Reimers here? Is Serene Roberts here? Okay. All right, that fixed that up. And, okay, the next person we have is Matt Mazza. Matt, go ahead.
Okay.
Oh, it was Jim Dingman.
Yeah, long time ago.
Jim Dingman.
All right, I have Matt. I'll put on Dingman after Matt.
I was before. Okay.
Okay. Am I on?
Yes.
Okay, very good. To clarify one thing, the $222,000 was definitely not the Bolton Trust. It was a woman. I forget her name now, but it was a woman who was a beekeeper. And she produced honey, and she won awards, et cetera, et cetera. She had a home repair business. So it was definitely not the Bolton Trust. Another thing is we got a $50,000 check. This was general manager. He received and he took it to the bank. I didn't see it till later when Kaziah did the documentation. So that was another donation. All these donations have come from unions. Now, it is a question where he goes. As Bob Paul was saying, BAI pay its bills. We don't have paper towels. We don't have toilet paper. We can't pay a person who comes in to clean. I keep hearing all the time, I pick up David Rothenberg's pledges. Where's my $950? what is going on here? Why can't David just get a check? It falls on deaf ears. Now, just to get some blank CDs and some ink cartridges, like pulling teeth. I thought I was getting a couple of them, but I only got a set of one. That is what it is. So, how does BAI, now that we're supposed to be doing well, get into its financial autonomy, where we have some sort of budget and we have local control to pay our own expenses? So this is the biggest issue of the finances. We need to ship out this premium back that we have items. Just received 180 Corinthianaris nitric oxide. We don't have envelopes to put them in the ship. I keep mentioning these things, and it falls on deaf ears. So, what's going on with the finances? BAI has become not BAI when all these documentaries are canceled. History of Palestine, history of Venezuela, South America, South Africa, Haiti, Native American history. It's all gone now with this program is the premium. Now, so this is education, from an educational standpoint. BAI is becoming not BAI. Anyway, that's my commentary. Thank you.
Right. Matt, you said something about 180 what?
I'm sorry, say again?
Okay, you mentioned the number 180-something or other. 180 what?
Nitric oxide. That was a premium from Karine Fernari. 180. And all we need is the names now from Chris and labels to print, and we could ship them up. I would have them in the mail that morning.
WBAI pitched nitric oxide as a premium?
Correct.
I hope somebody made sure that was legal. All right. Okay. I don't know. I don't know. All right. Okay. Matt, are you done there, I think, maybe?
Yes.
Okay. The next person is Jim Dingman. Go ahead, Jim Dingman.
First of all, can you hear me? Can you hear me?
No, you're breaking up a lot.
Speak up, Jim.
How's that, better?
I hear you a little bit better now, yeah.
All right. Just tell me, am I clear or am I breaking up?
You're okay right now.
All right. First of all, I want to be objective in what I say. By that I mean, the facts are the key thing. And I, as a director, and some people who did not have NDAs, but I've asked formally for a director inspection to deal with these issues. Okay? And for those of you who don't know, in the state of California, a director of a nonprofit public foundation like Pacifica has the right to go in with reasonable time. Reasonable time is defined in California as business hours. So if I wanted to come in tomorrow or the next day or the next day and get the information that we need to understand what's going on, I'm well within my boundaries to do that. But out of courtesy, I'm going to go through and let a few days go and over the weekend because people are in Chicago, etc. But I want to get to the bottom of this. I'm not going to accept oral testimony about what's happening. I don't want to hear people give me excuses. And if I get stonewalled, I will let the public know about this because I want to get down to the bottom of what is financially going on. Now, everything that we're hearing that our Paul mentioned indicates to me, and the facts have to be ascertained and verified as accurate, that the amount of money coming in from listener members has dropped at least 80 to 90%. Now, that is what the statistics so far I see indicate. And that is a real precipitous drop. Now, is that true or not? That has to be verified. All the information that you cited earlier of this money coming in from unions, I have no problem with unions donating money. I have no problem with the PSAs. I have no problem with, in 1952, we have idiots in Pacifica who forget that $600,000 from the Ford Foundation saved Pacifica. So I don't care about foundations giving us money also. However, what I do care about is that the amount of money coming in, we need $130,000 a month or $120,000 a month coming in, not $60,000. And that's the nut that we have to bear. And if that's what caused the problem that existed for years, that we were not achieving that amount of money. There's a constant deficit. So that, as far as I'm concerned, is where I heard the resentment from people all over the network for 10 goddamn years. So we have to, the math is pretty simple. If we're only raising $60,000 or $70,000, and we really have to raise about $120,000 or $130,000 being the black, then we are facing a situation of grave, dire, existential threat almost immediately. And again, I don't want to hear at this point, you know, I've been drumming the beat about the audience. The audience right now is one of the lowest we've ever had. It's between 30 and 60,000 a week. And people who want to sit there and not pay attention to that, as far as I'm concerned, you're a goddamn moron at this point. I don't want to hear your bullshit because this is ridiculous. We have a serious situation here now. So I'm going to find out what's going on. Unfortunately, that cannot be shared. You know, I can't sit there and, you know, openly show everybody this stuff because those of us with NDAs know we can't do that. However, I think in the interest of the public, we have to get down to the bottom of this and say, okay, what is going on? How can we avert a disaster? Because we've got all these schmucks in Pacifica who would just love to sell the station for 40 or 50 million bucks. And that would take a year to do, but they sure have the majority to do it right now with the way it's constructed. So we could have some sudden stuff happen in the next couple of months if this gets worse, which will totally change the situation around to another kind of problem altogether. And I don't want to minimize that. And again, we're past the time for hearing these silly debates by some people about how to solve these problems, because the facts of the money speak louder than words. Thank you.
Okay. All right. So, Mr. Timekeeper, how much time do we have on this item?
Devil in the stack.
Well, let me get the timekeeper first.
Okay.
Jeffrey, how much time do we have left on this? All right. I'm going to figure I can see we're past the 10 minutes.
Yeah, we're past 10 minutes.
Okay. Somebody want to make a – how many people want to be on stack? I have Daryl.
Anybody else? I'd like to be.
Kay wants to be on. Anybody else want to be on stack?
Yes, I do.
Daryl proposes to be extend to 10 minutes.
Okay, hold on. Let me. All right. But there are enough people that we should probably do an extension. So there will be a motion. Okay. Who? Daryl, you want to make the motion?
10 minutes.
Are you? Want me to get half an hour?
Can we make it 15 minutes? This is Ali.
All right. All right, I'm going to put in 15 minutes, okay? That way we don't have to...
We probably need 25 if we actually explored all these questions.
Somebody, okay, right now it's either 10 or 15. Does somebody want to make it more than that?
Yeah, I would
say... Paul, how many people have joined the meeting?
I don't know. Dingman, you had a suggestion?
Yeah, I'd say 25 minutes at least. Because we've got a lot of
okay. How many people are on the meeting? Let me look. Oh, God, it's the wrong place to go. Let me look at that. Oh, God, where did it go?
Paul, I'm here.
Yeah, I hear you, Bertold. I'm trying to look up. People are asking me how many people are on the meeting, and I'm trying to answer the question. And I have, oh, here we go. Yeah, we have a total of, there's 18 of us on the meeting right now. So, the motion is to extend the time for this item by 25 minutes. Is there any objection to that? Hearing none. We're extended for 25 minutes. Mr. Timekeeper, I make it 1 minute after 8. Okay.
Yes.
Making a stack. Making a stack. I have Daryl. I have M.K. Williams. I have Bertold Reimers. Anybody else want to get on a stack?
Yes. Ali.
Okay. Ali Murphy. Anybody else?
James as well, please.
Sagerton.
Although, if you would give me an inquiry right now, I might not need to.
Why don't we just do this in a? We'll get to you. All right. Is there anybody else who wants to be on a stack?
Jeffrey. Yes.
Okay, Jeffrey Stern wants to be on. Anybody else wants to get on the stack right now? Okay. That's plenty of people. The first person up will be Daryl McPherson. Go ahead, Daryl.
Okay. First of all, as a point of information, according to that Allegiance report, the name of the person was Cynthia Wertz, W-E-R-T-S, $222,316. I hope this helps somebody. Okay.
Yeah, I don't know if we should have said that. Okay, but you did it. There we go. All right. Continue.
Two, as a personal aside, offering an approved, FDA-approved product over the air is legal. I don't care what any lawyer says, but it's legal. If they're selling it, especially if they're selling it on the open market only to practitioners and doctors. Three. What? Oh man, this stuff is really messed up. What is the figure for this quarter? $173,000 in arrears. Is that correct?
It's not this quarter. It's at the as of March 31st, the end of the second quarter of FY24. BAI was just short of $173,000 in the deficit.
Does that include the $25,000 that appears to be coming out of WBAI's budget rather than Pacifica?
I don't know.
Okay,
I think that may have started after that. I have to look that up.
All right. So then,
it doesn't because. If it's March 31st, the thing came in around June.
Right. Okay. All right. So, do you have any information about the services that are being paid to Pacifica?
Central Services. We have the information. We're not paying them. Yeah, I have some stuff about Central Services fees, and for the most part, we're not paying Central Services fees, and a lot of others aren't paying either. So let me
see
if I can find something on that, and hope it's not part of the confidential thing. We run into this confidential stuff now and again, and it's a little bit.
All right. So then, what I'm looking at is, since WBAI is a fiction, Pacifica is the reality. And any foundation that attacks itself continually, trying to bankrupt itself without anybody intervening, One would think that the fraud, rather than being in products that people don't like, as compared to looking at the science, I mean, you can sell Viagra, but you're offended by nitric oxide, which is one of the most important gases in your body that does tons of things, which you actually would benefit from. I didn't say I was
offended by selling nitric oxide. I asked if it was legal, and given some of its uses, I was wondering. I don't know. It's my question.
Fine.
On the other hand,
stuff that's produced in the body
can also not be sold sometimes, but I won't give examples. Go ahead.
May I be recognized for just one observation?
No, please. We're starting to break down, folks.
Something that Darryl keeps saying.
You can get on the stack and correct the hell out of me if you want. Or I'll put you on the stack. Darryl, please continue.
Right. Two, three is that this whole union thing, the way that we could totally benefit from the union participation is to, A, make the union members aware of the spending of the executive boards and the leadership, B, ask them to listen to the station. Who's doing an outreach to the union membership as compared to the union leadership? So you can get the cash beyond coming out of the coffers of the union itself. You can get the members to listen so that we could help them move through this very treacherous period that we're getting ready to move through. Three, emotion. Do you hear how emotional I am right now? It ain't helping nobody. What we need to focus on is, A, how do we boost our membership? How do we serve more people? How do we, when you get on the train or the bus, does anybody know that WBAI exists? So how do we get people to listen to the station? B, how do we then encourage them to give to the station? And I think once you start listening to WBAI, there isn't any way that you wouldn't be giving, because the information that's being shared, whether it's entertainment, whether it's self-improvement, whatever. So if we focus on listenership and getting the listeners to give, then it doesn't matter what Pacifica does, as long as we can keep convincing them to renew the license. Who fought the FCC? Who fought the charges? Or did Pacifica fight the charges that are costing the WBI listening area, which is the world, the $25,000 and these silly rules that hardly anybody understands with regard to fundraising? Show me one public organization that's on the I'm getting messed up here. Let me calm down. Show me one public radio or television station that has to go through the hoops that are in that training. None of them would be on the air, and a lot of them are laying off workers as we speak. So how do we capture the American public? Or I should say, how do we capture the world public? Because we're a worldwide station. You're going to tell me that terrestrial 28,000 people that we are able to reach, is it 28,000? 28 million. 28 million people we're able to reach, that we're not able to come up with $5 to $10 million to run the station in a fashion that's reasonable. and pay off the Pacifica network debt at the same time? Unless we understand how it works, and that's what I'm asking for you, from you, Art Balker, and all the others who've been around forever. How does Pacifica work so that we can stay alive? Thank you.
Paul?
Okay, well, let me just say, everybody, right now, I'm next on the stack. All right, please stop calling out. I'm saying something. All right, Daryl, I think we all know how this has been going on, so it's people have said it, so it's not a big mystery.
Oh, really?
It's the same stuff everybody's been saying. Has anybody called time just now? No. All right. The next person.
No, I haven't. You have to be 26.
Jeffrey, was that you?
Yes. You have another 15 minutes.
15 minutes. Oh, good. M.K. Williams, you're next.
Okay. My question is a concern about Bob Henley. Could whoever's scratching paper, please stop. I think I heard Matt Mazza say that we got a $50,000 check, and Bob Henley took the check and says he took it to the bank. But Matt Mazza doesn't know which bank. Now, Berthold used to be very transparent about, depositing checks in the bank. Nowadays, you can take a picture of the check with your cell phone and send it, and the bank, voila, accepts it. So, you know, he takes the $50,000 check, and we don't know what bank account it went into, whether it was Pacifica's or ours, or is there another secret bank account we don't know about. And he's not being transparent with either our committee or the board. He didn't come to the board last meeting, and he hasn't come to any of the finance committee meetings, in spite of the fact that it's our fiduciary responsibility of oversight over him and over the finances of this board. I mean, this station. So, what is have you, our Paul, had any private, contact with him? Any understanding through emails about what his intentions are? Do we have? I mean, Daryl is right. We have lost local control over the station, and it may be that it's all preparatory to just dumping the whole station and selling the license and taking the money and running, and they don't care about us anymore. In which case, how much do we care about ourselves and our station? That's my question.
Okay. Yes, maybe it is all about certain people. Dumping BAI, grabbing the money, and then they can produce whatever losing programming they want to on their stations, and they don't have to worry because they'll have so much money it won't matter that nobody donates to them. That's one possibility. The other thing is, I think that every communication I've had with Mr. Henley has been seen by all of you, I think. I'm pretty sure. I'm not 100% sure of that. I might have said, hey, you're going to come over here or something like that and not sent it to everybody in the world. But, yes, I think everybody here has seen my communications with Mr. Henley. So that answers that question. Okay. The next person on the stack is Berthold Reimers.
Okay, so quickly, I didn't want to do that, but Daryl, you keep asking the same question. Basically, I'm not supporting or against it, but basically what Pacifica did is, hold on. I just got, yes, I'm picking up.
Okay.
Pacifica did is because of this lawsuit that was filed by the, MAGA people from Berkeley and them. Pacifica spoke to their lawyer, who's, I'm assuming, is extremely conservative, was part of the FCC, and they decided that if they paid him to fight the case, they would probably spend $100,000 even if they win. So they decided to go with the $25,000 fee and pay it off, and so that there is less look at WBI and the entire network, because you are going to look at all five stations, and we don't even have good records, so we would have failed all kinds of stuff, and who knows what else they would have found. So that's what happened with the FCC thing. The thing that is unacceptable is that the $25,000 fee was charged to WBI, and that seems to have been a decision by the executive director. I'm like, well, who the heck is she to make the decision like that, such a decision? And Apple, why aren't you challenging her? This is not acceptable. There are all kind of lawsuits in the network, and they are paid by Pacifica. They are consumed and consumed.
I think you dropped out there, Bertold. Okay, I think he dropped out somehow. yeah, this is.
This is Jack.
Okay, Jack, could I please continue with? You're on the stack, Jack. I would just like to get the stack to work out. So, Bertold has dropped off the call, I think. So we're going to go to the next person, the stack, who is Alejandrina Murphy. Go ahead.
Okay. Thank you, Apple. I just heard Berto say that the executive director is the one who made the decision, I guess, about the $25,000. But it wasn't the executive director also who made the decision to hire Bob Hanley. So, and every time that we meet and on the LSB and the finance committee, he doesn't show up. Why he doesn't show up? Because the PMB, when he was hired, never went to the LSB, to the WBI LSB, to confirm that he would be hired and for us to give the okay. So therefore, I guess they do have the power to hire people and to do whatever they want, and that is why that $25,000 was WBI had to pay. I'm sorry, WBI had to pay for the $25,000. So another thing that is bothering me about Bob is that I heard somebody today telling me, somebody who listens to WBI all the time, saying to me that now the WBI is getting a lot of money, and it's getting a lot of money from union. But what Bob doesn't say is that a lot of that money doesn't come straight to WBI, and that's why you are, Paul, mentioned today. So why is this information omitted from the listener? Why the listener are not aware that a lot of that money that it comes in, that is coming in, is not directly for WBI, and that is the perception. People think that money, all that money that is being said that is coming from the unions, is being given to WBI. And as you are Paul mentioned, some of that money, we don't know the percentage because we never get information from Bob. He never shows up. And here we are. So I just wanted to mention that I think it's very unfair telling the listener about all this money and omitting information and not giving the listener the right information. So I think it's very unfair. And that is actually bad for WBI, because if I listen that WBI is okay on their finances and they don't need a lot of money because they're getting a lot of money from the unions, so if I'm going to give a $50, I'm only going to give it 10 or 20. So, because I'm not getting the right information. So I just wanted to say that. I'm done. Thank you.
Okay, next is James Sagerson. James, you have the floor.
James, thank you, Paul.
Okay, there you
thank you. I just wanted to ask Mr. Dingman, Jim Dingman, why he thinks that if he gets information in a director's inspection, it would have to be held confidential. Regular financial information is not confidential. I don't see why, since we're not getting it through the usual channels, if you get it through a director's inspection, why it would be confidential. I'm not clear on that, so I'm just asking you the question.
You want me to answer that, R. Paul?
Oh, I suppose. Go ahead.
Because I'm going to be asking for the contracts for the unions additionally to the amount of money coming in. And that, I believe, is not something that can be publicly made available. But that's a good question, Jim. The main thing is I want to verify exactly what publicly is being posted, because it's very confusing and it's frankly indecipherable. At this point, it seems like people are cherry-picking and putting in sums that, we just have to clarify. That's all.
May I follow up very briefly, R. Paul?
Go ahead.
Yeah, Jim, I just wanted to point out that you may get some information, like contractual information, that may well be confidential, but you may get other information, like routine financial information, that should not be confidential. So, if you can distinguish between the two, or maybe get some help distinguishing between the two, you could probably release the information that is not confidential. That's all. Thanks.
I can ask a question.
Well, hold on, Virgil. We're.
Well, I was muted or whatever. I was listening
to. Okay. All right. You want
to
come back?
And
all right.
Yeah.
You did. You dropped out. Okay. So. Okay. Tell you what. Come on back, but understand. Go ahead.
Okay. So quickly, I don't understand why even the contract seems to be confidential. There was never anything confidential when I was running the goddamn place. A contract was that the contract between a vendor or a donor and WBAI, a bequest can be seen, a grant writing, a sponsorship agreement. There's nothing confidential about any of this crap. First of all, okay? So this is like a whole lot of nonsense. So second, basically, I don't know if I gave the numbers before. WBI did raise $42,598 in March. On David Rosenberg, $5,130, and others was $37,000. So the total was, in April, we raised $100,406. David Rottenberg was $12,400 of that, and other revenue was $87,000. In May, we were at $52,800 because that's when they hit us with the FCC super rules that stopped us from doing anything in the middle of a fund drive. And then we raised another $46,000. So that was like $99,000. In June, during the coup, we raised $8,673 of pledges. $5,000 of that was David Rottenberg, and then there was another $3,000 other. So that's what Allegiance is saying. Allegiance is becoming a little more confusing. You got to drill down because they are adding things like checks that come in that were never part of Allegiance. Those numbers were part of the Allegiance was just pledge that comes in. So it's being enhanced by, the checks that come in and at not deposits in the bank that we used to receive. They were not put in Allegiance, but these are being put in Allegiance. Second, the real question is, if we're in $60,000 a month from the union or $40,000 a month from the union, that's extremely, that's very good. Congratulations, Bob Henley. The question is that a month? Or how is the money coming in? Because from what I remember, the morning show, Monday morning labor show, we received $13,000. That was for the whole year. It's $6,500 for the first 6 months. And then in May, at the end of May, they sent us another $6,500 for $13,000 for that Monday. So when we turned Labor Monday into Labor Tuesday, and then the Monday became Reverend Barber, there was another promise of another $13,000 for that Monday. So we're talking about $26,000 for the whole year. So we get a check. Let's assume that we get all these checks now. Is that for the whole year for these unions? or are they sending us these things monthly, those, each one of those unions? It's not like we have 10,000 unions that are sending us 2,000 here, 1,000 there, to add it up to 60,000 a month. So the question is, you know, are we being, you know, is there a lot of BS going on? Like, you know, we'll be $60,000. It's for what? It's for 1 year? From what I understood, there was some money that was supposed to be received for the show that replaced Leonard Lopez. I think $60,000 or $100,000 for the whole year. So if we receive all that money now, that's for the whole year. So that's what we need to clarify. If it's every month we receive, if we're receiving $60,000 or $40,000 every month, that's pretty good. You know, we have to find other ways to raise money.
Okay. Third time has been called. Time has been called.
Let me just finish one sentence. And the BAI body are not reported. They reported $2,000 for 1 month and $1,000-something for another month. It used to be $21,000 per month. So that doesn't make any sense that it would drop that drastically. So somebody doesn't know what they're reporting.
Okay. Time has been called. And is there anybody who wants to...
I want to move 10 minutes, Paul.
I move to extend for 10 minutes, or a second.
Okay.
Carolyn McIntyre for the stack.
Okay. Okay, the motion is to extend the time for this item by 10 minutes. Is there any objection to that? Hearing none, it's passed without objection. Mr. Timekeeper, I make it 2026. And we're going, the next person on the stack is Jeffrey Stern.
Yes, I want to say, I don't understand how we arrived at Dr. Henley to be okay. He's not doing his job as station manager. He's in Chicago.
Jeffrey?
Yes.
You are extremely muffled.
Okay. What is Henley doing? He's not doing his job as station manager or you know, at this point.
You can't make him out, man.
Now he's
worse than before.
Okay, but the point is, Henry's not doing what he's supposed to be doing. He's not being a station manager. He's off in Chicago. I think he deserves to have somebody who's going to be taking care of BRI, not doing everything. Right? I think it should be. That's why he is our station manager. We need somebody who's going to make sure the finances come
to order. Paul can't hear him at all. All right.
Jeffrey, people just can't hear you. You're just so muffled we can't make out the words. Did you do something with your phone?
I'm sorry. The point is, Bob Henley is not doing his job as station manager. So why should he pay for that? He can do what he wants to do in Chicago, but the point is he's not doing what, taking care of the responsibilities of a station manager or a program director. So why are you being paid for that? I think that should be brought up to the, and why isn't the business manager, our business manager, put him in that particular spot? I think that's something that has to be raised, all right? All right? The point is that we need somebody who's giving us the reports and giving us an idea of what's going on with BAI, BAI. And I don't see it, of course, coming. Here's a refusal to come to the Finance Committee, and the LSB tells me he doesn't care. So we need to do something about that. Find somebody who's going to take care of BAI, not somebody who just ignores us. Well, that's what I wanted to say.
Okay. Yes, these are things...
Right.
That have been getting brought up about the whole situation here. Okay, the next person on the stack is Jack DePalma. Jack, go ahead.
Yeah, the point is well passed. Darryl, I think you have a misunderstanding about the Pacifica WBAI home shopping network process. In May, June, they might have sold some leftover premiums, and maybe they sell nitric oxide. You were talking about nitrous from Corinne Fenari, I think Matt mentioned. May, June is like 2-3 months away now, right?
but the process works really slowly. And we get the money, but then they got to get the product or whatever it is. If it's a CD, they have to print it. And then, you know, maybe they don't have the money to send the postage. So what you heard Matt talking about could have been generated May 15th or May 20th or May 30th when we did a fund drive using nitrous oxide. When Bertrand was the general manager, they were still doing that. That's before the FCC change of pitching process and the revamping of the business model, whatever you want to say, occurred in June. I think it was June 8th. The second thing I would say to you, Daryl, and this goes to everybody, is that not only has it been difficult to understand, Bertrand gave me the first time I've heard the way in which numbers always come to me, if they're, you know, rates of income in this case or rates of payment in this case, is a time, signature, and an amount. So I was always under the assumption, because I've been coming to these meetings for a long time and talking to Jim Dingman and talking to Bertolt Reimer and just looking at pieces of paper that people pass under my nose, the radio station has been paying basically $1 million a year to pay its own bills. So Pacifica has an asset that takes care of itself, and we've been shy about 20% of that. So let's say another $200,000 yearly for the last 20 years. That accrues, that becomes some bad choices that they made, some bad choices that we make as a consequence of that. So the next thing I would point out to Daryl or Bertolt or anybody that cares to listen, or Paul, especially you, is that, yes, Bob Henley has been giving us the, oh, I'll tell you later, or I'm looking at these numbers and they make no sense to me, so I can't tell you what that is. He did that with the premium, the premiums that are outstanding, the violation of the Federal Trade Commission, XYZ, or whatever the hell that was about. And I will say one thing, I've said this before, and I'm almost embarrassed to say this publicly. If Bob Henley is so proud of being fired twice, what's his contract look like? You know, really, do you really want to go to somebody who's kicked you in the butt once, twice, and now you say, oh, I'm working hard for the unions because I'm helping you take over this radio station, and never come to the meetings? I mean, if this is a democracy, if this is a union, I mean, I want my UFT to join helping WBAI. But many of the radio shows are, you know, those people, and the other half of the bill is being paid by people like me and you, and you may not be a union member, Paul, or he may not like unions. There are a lot of people that listen to radio stations that don't like unions, or police unions, I might say. So I'm not criticizing Paul, I'm not criticizing Jim Dingman. I'm saying that if this is how Pacifica is supposed to work, it doesn't work in. This is not good. Because he tells us all this money comes in, and he doesn't tell us how much that money pay. Like Bertrand just said, is it 3 weeks, 3 months? Is it a quarter? Is it a year? $60,000, $30,000, here, there? They throw numbers around, but they only relate to how much money that is. They pay the salary. They pay the transmitter, I assume, with that big bequest. But I also heard that half the union money was cut in half. We only get half of it. That's what I heard him say on the radio. So if he wasn't going to come to the meeting, but he wants to say it on the air, because as Ali Murphy said, God bless you. Oh, he makes it sound so beautiful. It's wonderful. We're paying the bills. So I'll send you $10, not $30. Because I feel the same exact way, Ali. Thank you.
Okay. Yes, unions are okay by me. In fact, when BAI had UE Local 404, I was the chief steward of that union, Jack. Anyway, next we have Carolyn McIntyre. Carolyn, you have the floor.
Hi, thank you. So what a contrast between Bertolt as general manager and Bob Henley. Bertolt was and is here, and he's not paid to be here, and Bob Henley is paid and is not here. When Bertolt was general manager, it was very easy to get information about the finances of the station. Bob Henley has no transparency and no accountability to any of us here. So, you know, for all the people that bash Bertolt, I think you owe him a debt of gratitude, because you're throwing stones at the wrong person when you were doing that. And, you know, Bertolt has kept the station going through many difficult times, including the shutdown in 2019, which went on for a month. And we all continued and moved forward. So the final thing I'd say is I appreciate the people that are here, because this is really a state of uncertainty about what's going to happen and how this how we're going to get out of this. So I'm also very concerned about what I would call a modern-day book burning. I said this at the LSC. The fact that he's cut the legs out from the premiums, which are a main way of disseminating information. I think more than anything, this is an attack on free speech. The providing speeches from Martin Luther King, from Malcolm X, history of Africa, history of what's going on in Venezuela, this was providing real information that you cannot get from other places. And the fact that he goes after that first, you know, the New Day people, this is like a collusive lawsuit. You go to the FCC and you say, please beg, give me a ruling that I can bring back to BAI and Pacifica that will say, okay, you can't do that anymore. But they went to the FCC and basically asked them to do that. That's the net result of what they did. And so it's cutting off the ability of producers to make money. Bertold was doing the opposite, working with the producers, educating them, setting goals on bringing in premium money, which is also getting information out in the public of information and history that we won't get anywhere else. And the final thing I will say is Bertold said something about the income from buddies has dropped dramatically. I agree with Bertold. That's very suspicious. For me, you know, I'm a monthly donor. It's a pain in the ass once I've become a monthly donor to anything to figure out how to stop it. And I just find it hard to believe that a bunch of people all of a sudden stop their monthly donations to WBAI. So what is going on with the accounting? That I find strange. And now I'm turning it over. I think Michael's next.
Well, okay. Hold on. All right. That actually exhausts that particular stack. So if people want, we can start with a new stack.
I had asked to be on stack before Carolyn asked to be on stack.
Well, didn't hear you. Okay, you want to be on the stack now, right? So I'll put you on. Anybody else want to be on a stack? People who haven't spoken before will go to the top of the stack. So who wants to be on the stack? Daryl?
Hey, William.
Jim. Jim.
And Carolyn Burton, please.
Carolyn didn't
speak. Yeah, here we go. All right. Anybody else?
Carolyn.
Okay. Yes,
Matt?
I got. Who's that?
Matt.
Matt again. Okay. All right. And. Okay. So I have a stack, and I have the people who haven't spoken yet up at the top of it. So, Michael D.D. White, go ahead. I hear somebody saying something.
Yeah,
I think the timekeeper is telling us that we've hit the time. Is that it?
Yes.
Okay. All right. Somebody want to make a motion to extend?
Daryl extends for 25.
Okay. I think I heard Michael White first, so how much do you want to extend for?
I said 10 minutes.
10 minutes. Okay, the motion is to extend the time for this item by 10 minutes. Is there any objection to that motion?
None.
Hearing none. It's passed, Mr. Timekeeper. I make it 20:38. And Michael White, you have the floor.
Yeah, I heard Jim Dingman say that items he's requesting and his director's request may be confidential, and he gave us an example. The fact that he's asking for contract to supply funds from the unions and suggested that have to be. I hear background noise from the timekeeper again.
Okay, folks, if you're not talking right now, please mute your phone.
So I heard Jim Dingman say that maybe if he requested, because he has requested contracts about funding from the unions, that would be confidential. I heard Berthold respond to that, saying that contracts to provide funds would not be confidential. And my instincts incline to agree with Berthold, but so that I understand it better, I would like to ask Jim Dingman, and he could, give examples without actually saying what the specifics are. But, give hypothetically, could be in a contract with the union or with some other provider of funds that would need to be confidential. And I can understand saying that you will treat something as confidential may make it easier for you to get it if there's things in contracts that certain people don't want to see the light of day. But as I said, my instincts incline to validate what Berthold said, that these contracts should not be confidential.
Okay. All right. The next person in the stack is Carolyn Burden. Go ahead.
Oh, thank you. A few things. Just backpedaling. I had the help of a very able lawyer when I was doing director's inspections years ago. Nothing is sacred when a director wants to do an inspection. The confidentiality comes with what he discloses after he sees it. But after he or she looks at it, it is open. Anything is open. And so that is where Jim would need to have a lawyer's guide. And I'm suggesting that somebody go in with him. Doing a director's inspection long distance doesn't usually work. You have to be there, and you have to look at the file cabinets they don't want you to see, and look at the records that they're trying to hide. So that is one issue. Another issue that I wanted to talk about is the question of management and contracts. I think it's the job of, it's not only the right, but the job of the LSB to ask the director, the new director, to come in and speak to us and for us to call for information and like contracts and see what we're working with here. This is, if I were going to make life difficult for WBAI, I would do what Bob Hanley has been doing since he arrived. And I'm not happy to have to say this in public, but I don't see a lot of forward thinking. And the LSB has a responsibility to ask him what he's doing and to critique it and to make sure we know what happens. And this committee also probably has the right to insist that he show up and address the issues that you're working with in a very professional way. Thank you.
Okay. And some folks are if you're, I don't know, washing dishes outside in the world, ordering food or something or other like that, please mute your phone because it really makes it difficult to hear other people. Okay, the next person is Daryl McPherson. Go ahead, Daryl.
Can you hear me, Oppo?
Yes.
Okay. My question is, what is the rent that we pay on 388, and what square footage, or how does that work? Is it paid by square feet or whatever? And the other thing is how many in that case, how many square feet do we have? And there's talk about bringing people into the station to do volunteer work.
how would that work out? They said the program directors say, I'm losing her name again. Blow said that they were going to have, they were going to invite people in to volunteer. And so how would that work out? The problem with the phone, no one has clearly explained why we couldn't request funding for an interactive response system so that the phone could be farmed out to anybody in their home 24 hours a day. And then when it comes to the sensitive information, it goes off into an automatic system. And then the call goes back to the goes back to the call taker, and they end the call. I mean, there are a lot of questions out here that aren't being consistently answered, and yet day by day the station gets deeper in debt. And if you fail to take into consideration that Pacifica Foundation is attacking one of its own quote-unquote members or stations in order to sell it, you're limited in your response. So the answer is more listeners, pay off the Pacifica debt, and then they'll shut up. Thank you.
Okay, the next person is Jim Dingman.
All right. Well, first of all, I have done director inspections before, and this is going to be complicated. I'm expecting that I'm going to get stonewalled, to be honest with you. But all those issues, I have the right to examine in terms of exercising my fiduciary responsibility, what's in the bylaws and what's in California Corporate Code. I have the right to see financial records. I have the right to see government documents and government policy, and I also have the right to see contracts and agreements. All right. Now, what I don't have the right to expose is personnel documents, records. In California, that's a gray area. Now, in terms of, quote, releasing the information, that's an interesting question, how to go about that, because there are a lot of people on this phone call who have signed non-disclosure agreements, and they have the right to see that information, as far as I'm concerned. Because I'm not going in there just for myself. I'm going in there for a lot of us, for all of us. So that's a question that I might have to raise with the general counsel, but here's where us not having an attorney or attorneys, which our foes generally have. They have at least three or four active attorneys out there in California. They probably have more who work and help them with these issues. Now, just to answer what Daryl said, because some of this was already repeated, but when the complaint came 2 years ago from the people in Berkeley, those of us on the board from New York, all of us opposed it. In fact, it was regarded as a threat to our license, and several people were taken off the board as a result of that because we felt that they were violating their fiduciary duties because they were threatening the most valuable license in the system. Now, the case came up, frankly, out of the blue earlier this year. And then it had to be answered. Now, the issue was, are we going to spend the resources to fight them? Because there's a whole series, everybody has to understand it. Yes, indeed. For the past 30 or 40 years, according to the FCC rules, and you can go read them, I've downloaded them and read them. Nobody complained for 30 or 40 years when Gary was making millions of dollars for Pacifica, but, you know, there's no doubt that the timing of what occurred there is related to internecine fighting. But nevertheless, it came up. There's no doubt that the way it was being done was in direct contradiction to the FCC rules. And trust me, when this began, my personal feeling about the ability of people to administer this was, how many of them had actually run a fundraiser with these FCC rules in place? And one can just look at how Channel 13 does it, how Channel 21 does it, how WNYC does it. The restrictions, to me, seem to be self-imposed. However, we're stuck with this right now. So we have to deal with it and creatively solve the problem. It is a terrible, unfortunate impact of this that most likely the kind of premiums that were discussed earlier would probably be viewed as verboten premiums to send out. I mean, I don't know what they've come up with. And then, of course, we've had an open air, these discussions where people have made accusations about the actions of others, which to me are sort of mind blown. I said, my God, you know, you're accusing people of all these different possible federal crimes on the air on the WBAI. So the decision making was made of the $25,000. Remember, we don't have the majority on the board. We're outvoted. There's at least 13 to 14 votes to 8 or 9 at the most that we can get in a board vote. So they can decide what they want to do. And that's it. And so we have to deal with this new situation. We have to creatively figure out how to get beyond it. And I will, of course, try to be, you know, in the interest of transparency, of course, I will try to make the documents, if they can be made available publicly, available. Okay? But we're not in a, we're in a totally different situation. I personally think I'm going to get stonewalled. We'll see. Because what is the purpose of getting these documents? These documents are for us to figure out how to get the station bound and fiscally stable. So there's the fiduciary responsibility of us who are on the board nationally and who are on the board locally to exercise our responsibility as those who are in, you know, basically given the privilege of trying to be fiduciarily responsible for the station. That's the spirit I'm going in with this. But again, I repeat what I said earlier. The issues that caused this situation still remain structurally, and at this point in time, my personal feelings about it have been rather well known for a long time, and unfortunately, they've been proven in practice. So we just have to creatively work our way through this problem and put all our heads together to figure out how to solve it. That's it. Thank you.
Okay. Jeffrey, did I just hear you call time? Jeffrey, did I just hear you call time?
Yes, I did.
Yes. Okay.
Request for a color grid.
Okay, who's making a motion to extend again, I guess?
No, I was asking, making a request for a colloquy.
Okay, right now we've hit the time limit on this.
Yeah, I'll extend to 10 minutes, please.
Okay. Okay, the motion is to extend the time for this item by 10 minutes. Is there any objection? Hearing none, we are extended. Mr. Timekeeper, it's 20:54. The next person on stack is MK.
Okay, when are you planning to end?
You know, okay, here's – I went over the I went over the agenda before, and right now, the things we really – we have 1 minute for WBAI management's report because he isn't here, and I was just going to say he's not here, so that's it. And then we have set next meeting date, new business, and adjourned by 9:30 p.m. I noticed that people are saying a lot of things I think we already know, and they're repeating themselves, and this is the way it can go sometimes. So, right now, M.K. Williams, you have the floor.
Point of order, when does a request for a colloquy get ordered?
What do you want? A colloquy? What are you talking about?
I wanted to respond. Jim Dingman was responding to me, but he didn't respond to me. I wanted to get back to him about my original request.
Oh, God. All right, so do you want to be on the stack? Because that's the way I want to handle this.
If you want me to do it, wait and break up the conversation. I'll go in the stack. Put me on the stack.
Okay, so I'll put you on the stack. Okay, MK Williams, you're on the floor.
I just wanted to say I appreciated Carolyn McIntyre comparing cutting off educational premiums being sent out with book burning. I hadn't thought of it that way, but I think that is what it is. And it made me think about other things about how this whole premium came about. You know, for example, I mean, as I'm speaking now as a listener, you know, I used to listen to, and he would talk about this vitamin and that nutrient and you need this and you need that. And after talking about it for like 6 months or so, he finally say, you know, I developed this product that has all these things in it and you can order it as a gift for continuing, you know, donating to this station so this kind of information can continue getting out. And that's kind of how it really started. So, and the same thing with David Rothenberg. He promotes theater. He would interview theater people. He is a theater person. Theater is an important culture in our lives. And he wanted to encourage people going to the theater as well as support PS. So he started getting donations of theater tickets cheaper than you could get them at TKTS. It's very expensive these days to go to the theater. So he was trying to make available what he was teaching about. Jim said the same thing Gary Null was trying to do, make available what he was teaching about. The same thing Mimi Rosenberg wants to do if she's doing a program on Martin Luther King and wants to make available tapes of his speeches. I don't understand why all of a sudden, I mean, this is being done all across Pacifica and all across the affiliates, and all across PBS and all across NPR, why all of a sudden BAI has to lose 50 or more percent of its income because of doing this? I mean, that I'm just speaking rhetorically. I just think we should take a moment, step back, and look at it as what it really is. That's all. So now you can
okay.
have your colloquy.
The next person is Matt Mazza. Matt, you're next. Are you there? Matt, we don't hear you. Are you muted? Are you muted, Matt Mazza? All right. Okay, Matt, going once, going twice, going three times. Okay. Michael White, you're next after Matt, so go ahead.
Yeah. I had asked Jim Dingman. He said that these contracts to provide funds from the unions could be confidential. To give us some hypotheticals that would be possibly included in such contracts that would have the privilege of being confidential. You know, what are we supposed to imagine could be in such a contract and entitled to such privilege?
You want me to answer that?
Yeah, go ahead. That's why I was asking it the first time, and that's why I'm coming back to ask it the second time.
Fine. Let's remember what I said before. In New York, you're an attorney, of course. In New York, we have a number of attorneys involved in this battle, and some of the things that could be thrown back at me in terms of my request have to do with the question of people could say, well, what's the harm to the corporation that might result from these documents being disclosed? And that the requesting director simply wants to misuse the documents to harm the corporation. That could be wrong. And so I want to be very clear that the reason to request these documents is to make sure that they are you know, again, I'm exercising my responsibilities, fiduciary responsibilities as a director, and I probably, you know, I didn't want to get involved. I mean, frankly, I could have not even announced that I was going to do this, but anyway, the hell with it, I did. So the question will be, in dealing perhaps with Arthur, I mean, I don't want to get too complicated about this, but then the question becomes, I'm not going to be a patsy for anybody. I want to make sure that the documents, if they can be released, it's not simply this was in the context of these documents, and the question is, will they just say that these documents should be confidential? And that that me having them or releasing them would be not in the best interest of the organization. That could be asserted as a argument by those who don't want me to release them or don't want me to get them. So, you know, that I have to anticipate, and that's where, again, it would be useful to have attorneys involved who could actually be advocating one way or the other about the kind of openness you're talking about, Michael.
I am not hearing an example, so I can't imagine something that would be in those contracts that would be confidential. I can imagine that the contracts might say, for instance, any reporting on the Democratic National Convention shall report that Kamala Harris's message is joyful, but I don't think that would be privileged or confidential. But I'm
Michael, Jim, can I say something?
Well, okay, no. Let Michael White finish. If you want to get on a stack, you can do it. Otherwise, it becomes chaos.
Declare myself finished.
Okay.
And then Paul can decide who speaks next.
Yeah, just because it's right there, Michael. The idea that you have a lawyer that's representing Pacifica that's also representing New York City unions that are giving us money. Need I point that out to you, Michael? Or maybe it's not obvious or transparent enough for you?
I didn't hear what you said.
All right, let me try it slowly and carefully. Pacifica's lawyer is also a representative of the unions that are giving us money. I don't know if that's a conflict of interest. Do you? I'm not a legal mind, but it seems that if they don't want to tell you what Bob arranged, or if they don't want to tell you how these arrangements came to, you know, all of a sudden balloon our income from them, and as Bertol said, I'm not going to reject people's money. I wish my union was involved. It has an air of, you know, wow, why all of a sudden, you know, SEICU decided that we, you know, the transit workers union, really? Are they all BAI listeners? So pretty much like the same thing that happened with Mr. Vernile. Does he listen to WBAI? He lives in Mount Vernon. I know they get WBAI up there, but isn't he a California guy? So this whole thing with Bob Henley could have conflict of interest all built into it, and it would be put into those contracts. So we're giving to Pacifica, Bob Henley brought it in, and the New York City lawyer works for these unions as well as for Pacifica. And, you know, he's the one that engineered what happened in some respects. I don't want to get sued. I don't want to say things that are improper. I'm not impugning anybody. Yes, for hypothetical. There's an actual.
Okay. Now, if possible, could we maybe move on to the next item? Okay, hearing no objection to that. The next item is WBAI. Okay, who's saying what?
I'm saying time.
Oh, time is up. Okay, so nobody's objecting to going to the next item, so let's do that. It's very fast, WBAI Management's Report. He's not here. I think we've discussed that thoroughly enough. So the next item after that is set next meeting date.
I'll pull a point of information.
Yeah.
A member named Mario Masradea, is he here tonight? Or is he not a member because he misses one meeting or two meetings?
He missed three meetings in a row, so he's not a member. I can call. Why? You want me to see if. Okay, let me see who else is there. Bertold is here. Serene Roberts, is she here? No. And that's it. I think we've got. Yeah. Oh, Denise Joyce. Is Denise Joyce here? No. Okay, so I think we've answered that. All right. Next here is set next meeting date. All right. This presents us with something a little interesting here because we got to figure it out. We usually have been meeting the week after the LSB meeting. Now, what I think is going to happen is this. I think it's all going to get rather late. And it is possible that certain people will try to rush us into saying, oh, it's late in the time and we have to get this done, so we'll just, you know, run to the NFC with something that nobody at PAI has ever seen at all, and we'll pass it there and put it onto the PNB. That could be what somebody's going to do. I wouldn't put it past.
You mean late with the budget? You mean
late
with
the budget? I'm talking about the budget.
You're not being specific about the details of this little late.
Okay. In any event, so I don't know what people have planned in that way. If we do things the way we usually do it, the next meeting proposal would be September 18th, which is the week after the next LSB meeting. And, of course, if we, let's say at that point in time, we got a whole load of information about the budget, we could consider it, but we couldn't bring it to the LSB until October 9th. So, you know, it certainly wouldn't be there before the end of September. But I, you know, given that it is now August 21st and, you know, we have zero information with which to deal with a budget, I think we should not get too nuts about keeping to a timetable somebody else is saying they want to do, because it's artificial. Plus, I don't know that the rest of Pacific is going to get it all in through September. So here's what I'm going to do. I'm going to make a motion that we meet next on September 18th in the usual way and just, you know, figure that that's going to be good enough. All right? So the motion on the floor is to meet next on Wednesday, September 18th at 7 p.m. here on Maestro.
Okay. Paul, can I make an amendment?
What would the amendment be?
Well, I really don't know how to say this because you're probably the knowledgeable one that will make it correct. But can we bring last year's budget and kind of look at it? Or kind of say this is how it changed here and might have changed there on our own knowledge.
I can.
Miss Berry sent us, and that's one quarter, right? That's January to March, right? And then half of what's
you,
been
you're
going on.
About
since,
multiple
and then you're afraid
here.
That other thing's going to happen. That they're going to, you know, slip it under the door, or you know, throw it over the transit, you know,
okay.
The open window.
If people want, sure, I can send last year's budget into the committee, and I've already sent the finance consolidated financials through March 31st, which is the latest we still have. We are again still waiting on the latest executive director's report, but there's not a ton there. There's some information, but not a whole lot, not enough to do a budget on, certainly, and I've told them that. So I can certainly send in what budget stuff we have. Does anybody think I need to send in the second quarter thing again? I only sent it in recently. I don't hear a clamor for that. You know what? I'm going to make a notation here to send the FY24 budget. Send that in. Okay, and I'll send that to the committee, okay?
Thank you.
Point of information.
Yeah, who's this?
Yeah.
Okay. What's your point of information?
Well, who would normally make the budget? The general manager, correct?
Yes, it would come out of the general manager. This year, I expect it would come national office.
Yeah. Correct. So the national office is going to be basing its assumptions on revenue based on what we're arguing about right now for the past several hours.
Huh. Yeah,
interesting. And so they say, oh, you guys are only making $70,000 a month. You got to cut back to that kind of level. Interesting. All right, thank you. I want to just begin to clarify that in my mind here.
Okay. All right. The motion on the floor is to meet next on September 18th. Is there any debate on that motion? Hearing none.
Let me ask another question about that.
Go ahead.
That seems a month away, right? It's going to be after the LSB meeting?
Yep.
Maybe we could do like a – we had an emergency meeting that Mr. Henley never showed up at. But this is so important because if we let even the proposal of a budget, which is all it is, get away from us, as Jim just pointed out, we're going to have to go on incomplete or information that we don't really have reliable knowledge of based upon – so maybe we should only take one quarter of what we know and kind of look at it in terms of other contexts, meaning last year's budget, and then try to think about, you know, where this is taking us. I can't put words to this because I don't make budgets. I'm not a budget guy. I know it's a proposal. I understand it has to take previous income and previous costs and put them all on the table and figure it out. Salary is pretty regular now. We've lost a few things like, you know, on-air pitcher, what do you call them, consultants, things like that. Different salaries, you know, the general manager, the interim director, this and that. So I don't know. I'm really kind of wondering if, you know, we put ourselves in an economic deadline if we propose a budget based upon incomplete or knowledge that they're sending us as being what we're really doing right now, or maybe it is complete. Maybe we're doing lousy right now, which might not be, you know, a fair. You know, you don't take an average of a lousy weekend. It can lead to, you know, problems. Averages lie because they ameliorate, you know, many different measurements. So I'm really confused about it. Thank you.
So, well, let me say that, you know, if we get information that we find stinky, we don't have to say, oh, we'll just base stuff on this. No, we'll argue about it. And it is entirely possible that we will end up going into October, maybe, arguing with people in Pacifica and maybe some people in New York about budget figures and other figures and where did you get that number from and all this kind of stuff. So I think it's entirely possible that that will be what happens, is we'll have to do a lot of arguing. But we'll do the arguing. I mean, we can't rush ourselves. If people are going to try and rush us, we have to say, well, we need information and insist on getting information, but we should not be rushing ourselves. All right? So that's what I think.
Point of information.
Who's this?
That's
Dingley
me.
Again. Okay, go ahead.
You hear James asking for the stack?
Oh, no. Okay. Is that James Sagerton wants the stack?
It is. It is, but take the point of information. I'll wait.
Okay, let's do Dingman first. Go ahead, Dingman.
All right. I'd be a little suspicious about what happened because knowing how the majority of the board at this point has reinforced sudden fait accompli. For example, what just happened 2 months ago. Or they wanted to pass a bylaw compromise with that lawsuit in I would keep in the back of my mind that we could have a sudden out-of-the-blue bolt because they're into their own form of unilateral executive power with what they argue about all the time in the sense that, you know, we have to defer to the managers, we have to defer to the ED. So who knows what could occur suddenly out of the blue as an unanticipated problem. We have to think that out as a possibility. Thank you.
Yes, of course, something like that could happen. So, okay, somebody else? Who wanted to say something? Oh, Sagerton, go ahead.
Yeah. I'm going to suggest that it might be dangerous to just sort of punt in this situation. And, you know, give them the okie doke and say, okay, we've had a blackout on information. We don't know what's going on. Therefore, there's nothing we can do, and we'll just go another 4 weeks to our next scheduled meeting and face the possibility, as you pointed out, that, you know, they may decide to do an end run around us and just, you know, produce a quick budget, take it straight to the PNB. And it could be, you know, a very Spartan budget, if you will, an austerity type budget. Who knows if they stick with what seems to be the party line that everything is fine and we're everything is wonderful. Maybe they won't force an austerity budget, but at some point we're going to come up against the hard reality that the regular fundraising is not coming in that we need to pay our bills, to pay for our operations. So I'm going to suggest an amendment to this, that we schedule a meeting in 2 weeks, and pending whether or not we have an acknowledgement from the general manager that, you know, he's going to have some kind of a budget ready for us, or that he'll provide us the information that we've been needing. You know, if he's still, you know, pursuing his career as a reporter or whatever he's doing now and at the conventions, and he's not ready to do this, you know, we can cancel the meeting. But I would like to suggest that it might be safer for us to have a meeting in place ready to go in case he's back from the conventions and he starts doing some homework and is, you know, starts to prepare to come in to make a budget. So I'm going to amend to say, let's set up a meeting for 2 weeks, and then it can be canceled, you know, at the discretion of the chair if he has communications from the general manager indicating that a meeting would not be fruitful.
All right. So your amendment is to also meet on September 4th.
Yes. Thank you.
And how do you want to put it in terms of how it might get canceled if nothing's happening?
So providing that the general manager has agrees to come and give us a report. I think we need the report as well as the information for the budget to give us a report or to begin the budget process. Well, we haven't had a report for a week. We need a report.
All right. So your amendment is to also meet on September 4th, providing that the interim general manager agrees to come and give us a report or to begin the budget process. Now, that takes up how you would like things to be. The other part of it was you said how this meeting might be canceled by the chair. How do you want to phrase that?
Can you read back how it sounds right now?
To also meet on September 4th, providing that the interim general manager agrees to come and give us a report or to begin the budget process.
If the interim general manager informs the chair that he's not ready to proceed or to give a report, the chair can cancel the meeting.
Okay. So then it becomes to also meet on September 4th, providing that the interim general manager, let me put a direct article in there because it's just driving me nuts to have to say it. Well, it's not written down yet, and now it's written down yet. To also meet on September 4th, providing that the interim general manager agrees to come and give us a report or to begin the budget process. If the interim general manager says he can't attend, the chair can cancel the meeting.
Yeah. That's
Paul.
Good.
Paul?
Yes, 1 second. Yeah, Tim, you have something?
Yeah, I think you're going to have to see on September 4th anyway, because
I understand the way Jim phrases it, but all the objective factors are too obvious that we're going to have a serious problem on our hands. The money situation is too obvious, and the initiative could be already out of our hands as we speak. So I think you're going to have to take the burden of coming in on the fourth and dealing with it if you want the other, whether he comes or not. Because I think we spent 2 hours outlining all these objective factors that necessitate the need to be proactive and get the jump on this process now, post wait a week or two for uncertain development that we can't see happening right now. I mean, I just think we could get the jump on.
So then you would make it.
I would just take that whole thing out.
Okay, hold on. Let me see if I can get this to work. So then you would basically, you would make the amendment read just to also meet on September 4th, period.
Correct.
Okay, so you're moving to strike.
Well, Jim, I don't know if Jim agrees with
you. You don't know if who agrees with you?
Jim, if Jim agrees with that or not. I don't know. I mean,
it's on the floor. It's ours. It's not his.
Why?
You're making an amendment to an amendment.
That's what I'm doing.
You're amending the amendment. Okay, 1 second. Let me get this written down before people get all exercised. All right, so Jim Dingman is moving to strike from the amendment, quote, providing that the interim general manager agrees to come and give us a report or to begin the budget process. If the interim general manager says he can't attend, the chair can cancel the meeting. So your amendment would strike all of that and simply make the amendment read to also meet on September 4th, right?
Correct.
All right, so that's on the floor.
Michael White on this to the stack.
Okay, Michael White. Anybody else want to debate
this? Can I say something, Paul? Thank you. This is Jack.
No, yes, you may. We'll put you on the stack, Jack.
James for the stack.
Who else?
James.
James Sagerton. Anybody else want to get on the stack? All right. Michael White, go ahead.
All right. We're getting a little confused here. You know, we're setting up the next meeting date, and the next meeting date is the 18th, but we're also going to meet on a date that's not the next meeting date, that's an earlier – anyway, it's getting, that's just an example of how we're getting a little bit confused. I think that we should plan to meet on the 18th. I think that we can – plan contingently to meet earlier, but I think it's a little bit Rube Goldberg to try and envision exactly what's going to happen. Basically, I think we're all agreed that the reason to meet earlier is that there would be something.
Okay, well, hold on. Will the person who is hocking up their lung please put themselves on mute?
I apologize, Paul.
Okay. Go ahead, Michael.
I think basically we're all agreed that the reason to meet earlier would be that there would be some legitimate idea that it would advance the budget process or the budget understanding. I wouldn't want to let Mr. Henley jerk us around, you know, by saying if he says this and if he says that and then he does, he says it. And then he doesn't show up, or, you know, it's just putting too much power in his hands. I would put all the power in the discretion of the chair, and I would say that the chair has the discretion to cancel the meeting if it doesn't see that there is good indication that there would be any substantial advancement in terms of considering our budgetary matters. You know, just keep it simple. Keep it at the discretion of the chair.
Okay, next person on the stack is Jack DePalma.
I like the idea. It's always at the discretion of the chair, Michael. Art Paul, I think we should have a meeting to talk about the budget. And I needed a little clarification because the way you said it, I know how they are in Pacifica, and I know in the past they haven't really been strict. But I do remember last year and the year before, UWBAI people have a deficit budget, and we don't accept that, so you have to fire somebody. And I believe what Jim Dingman pointed out is a reality that we don't have a real month to debate. Now, Michael's right. It's the discretion of the chair, and I'll just repeat that. But I believe it should be the discretion of the chair also to prepare us for a budget, whether we do or don't have the cooperation of the general manager, whether we do or don't have numbers that he provides us that are reliable and believable, because there's an existential threat going on. And I've known about the finances of WBAI for over 10 years now. And I look at it as like a failing business because we're usually about 20% shy of what we need to make the place operate and pay our own bills. And if we don't pay our own bills, we don't have a radio station, according to what's going on in California. So their majority tells me that I have to be prepared if they say, you need a budget. We don't like these deficit budgets. So you, our poor, better get us a $80,000 a year budget rather than a $130,000 a year budget. A million and a half year budget as opposed to $800,000 a year budget. You're only worth $800,000, our poor. Thank you.
All right. Let me say that they never passed the WBAI FY24 budget. So, you know,
they don't like that.
They shot it down, and they could just decide to say that again, no matter what we do, because I do not see any way on Earth or any other planet that they are going to come up with saying, okay, here's how you run WBAI for a year, and have a surplus at the end of the year. I don't see that unless it's like, you know, a real thing of all they're going to do is pipe in stuff to four times square the way they were doing with Vernili. So, you know, we don't know what they're going to do. But I don't like the unnecessary meetings, so I'm certainly holding out for we should meet on the 18th. And in terms of your concern, I would say they could still say again, since it will be a deficit budget, that they're not going to pass it. And they'll just leave it in limbo the way they did this year. That's it.
So
James Staggart, you have the floor. James Staggart, you have the floor. We're almost done. James Staggerton has the floor.
Yeah, I'm hearing you. Thank you, R. Paul. I just wanted to say that I want to support Jim Dingman's amendment and that I believe that we should meet on the 4th, schedule the meeting, and R. Paul, I think you have the prerogative as the chair to cancel the meeting if we don't have the attendance of the interim general manager or anybody from national management, Stephanie or Markeisha, and therefore we won't have anything to do. So I want to support Jim Dingman's motion.
You want to support? You just
argued. I want to support his amendment.
All right. His amendment is to strike the chair having any say in this. So, okay. Let me go over what we have because time is basically up in another minute or so. The main motion on the floor is to meet next on September 18th at 7 p.m. on Maestro. And there's an amendment from James Sackerton that says to also meet on September 4th, providing that the interim general manager agrees to come and give us a report to begin the budget process. If the interim general manager says he can't attend, the chair can cancel the meeting. Jim Dingman's amendment to the amendment is to strike, quote, providing that the interim general manager agrees to come and give us a report or to begin the budget process. If the interim general manager says he can't attend, the chair can cancel the meeting, unquote. So Jim Dingman's amendment to the amendment would make, if passed, would make it so that the amendment would only say to also meet on September 4th. Okay? Do we all understand all of this? I hope so. Okay. We're going to have to go to a vote here. So we're going to go to, let's see.
Can we take any objections?
Okay.
Is there any objections?
I would say we're going to a vote, okay? We're going to a vote. All right. The first thing we have is Jim Dingman's motion to strike. That would mean that we would also meet on September 4th, and that would be it. There would be no possibility of just canceling it, okay? So that's what we're going to go for first. Yes means you're in favor of striking the part that says providing that the guy won't come or whatever. And no means you want to have that whole provision in there as James Sagerton made it in the first place. Please answer up when you hear your name. Joan DiLorenzo.
Yes.
Jack DePalma.
I want to say yes.
Martin Flynn. Noel Jameson. Denise Joyce. R. Paul Martin. No. Matt Mazza.
Yes.
Carolyn McIntyre. Daryl McPherson.
Abstain.
Allie Murphy.
Abstain.
Berthold Reimers. Doreen Roberts. James Sagerton.
Yes.
Jeffrey Stern. Jeffrey Stern, okay. I'll come back. Michael D.D. White.
Yes.
M.K. Williams. M.K.
Yes.
Williams.
Yes.
Okay, I got you now. All right, let me go back to those who did not respond. Martin Flynn. Last call, Martin Flynn. Noel Jameson. Noel Jameson. No. Denise Joyce. Last call, Denise Joyce. Carolyn McIntyre. Last call, Carolyn McIntyre. Berthold Reimers. Last call, Berthold Reimers. Serene Roberts. Last call, Serene Roberts. Jeffrey Stern.
Yes.
Yes. And that's it. So it's 7-4, one against, two abstentions, so it passes, which means the amendment now reads to also meet on September 4th. Okay, so, okay. Is there any objection to the amendment which would say to also meet on September 4th?
I'll pull a point of clarification, please.
Yeah.
Isn't it always true that it's at the discretion of the chair?
No.
Oh, I'm sorry.
Okay, so is there any objection to the amendment that says to also meet on September 4th? Hearing none. Passed.
Paul, I can also vote in this. I vote yes.
Oh, okay, I hadn't. Oh, God, you want me to go back? All right, Dingman.
And I totally agree with people on their desire to give flexibility to our Paul. I just don't trust the SOBs right now. Thank you.
All right, you want to vote yes. There you go. So it's 8-1-2. Going back. All right, so the motion on the floor as it is now is to meet next, is to meet on September 18th and to also meet on September 4th. Okay? So is there any objection to that? Hearing none, it's passed without objection. So we're going to meet twice in the next little while. Okay, time is up. Unless somebody wants to move to extend the time for this meeting, we're going to go. Is there any motion to extend? Hearing none, this meeting is adjourned. Thank you all. See you.